Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Sometimes it just don't pay to be the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast shunned by hoarders everywhere. Country Joe McDonald taught him to spell.
Give me an F! Give me a U!
Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, look what happened today. Another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is pretty darn exciting. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. I'm looking forward to having a very productive recording session, and I'm sure that you're looking forward to having some entertaining and important podcast happening today. I hope that comes true for you. If there's any consolation to be had, we can always skip to the next episode after this one if you think this one's a complete waste of time. But I'm hoping it won't be. We have returned to winter here in Arizona, and so all I want to do is think about things other than the weather outside. And I will say that the way I do that is to concentrate on Medicare. Medicare is not normally a subject that people like to think about, but in this case, you, the listener, may have reason to be here with us, and it might be that you have a Medicare event coming up in your life, either a 65th birthday or maybe a pending, a looming retirement from your employer's plan, or your spouse is retiring, or there's some reason that you have to encounter Medicare other than your 65th birthday. That could be any number of reasons. And so we are here to help you make that encounter more profitable, less risky, and eventually a complete success that you will be proud of the rest of your days. So how do we do that? How do we impart the knowledge that you need to make correct decisions about Medicare? That would be by way of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, 2023. Go to Amazon, go to BarnesandNoble.com and type that into the search window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Now, if you go to Amazon, you're going to find four different books with four different prices, but they all contain the same knowledge. And I believe that once you have absorbed that knowledge, which it will not be a painful process, I can assure you of that. People have read my book in less than an hour. I believe that it's probably best if you read it more slowly and then concentrate on the areas of the book that are of most interest to you. You're going to be through with the book in an hour and a half, and you'll have a clear understanding of my recommendations. Not necessarily universal, because there are a lot of people that disagree with me and they prefer to propose other courses of action, and I state the reasons for those disagreements in the book. I think you'll find it to be interesting, informative, and ultimately very helpful to your encounter with Medicare. So I'm very pleased with the response that I've had from the book over the last whole bunch of years that it's been out. And I want to say that if I had a co-author, which I don't, but if I had a co-author, his name would be Randy Carson. And Randy Carson is as helpful as anybody has ever been in the process that has produced the podcast and the book that you're here to learn about. Randy, it's good to see you again.
Well, thank you, Doug. I really appreciate you sharing that sentiment, because I certainly have learned a lot about Medicare, and I do value our friendship a lot also. We've been doing this for, 5 years now?
We started in the podcast itself. We started right as COVID came upon us, so I think it was early in 2020.
Okay. And then, but in total.
Oh, in total. We met in March of 2018 at a coffee shop / beer joint in Cave Creek.
Yeah.
Where they normally have lesbian folk singers.
Yes,
stuff,
yes. I remember that. Like that.
And so we had a nice little luncheon, but you and Margaret, I guess, all business, had a contract, multi-page contract. And after we chatted for a while, determined that we were probably on the same page and that this was going to be a better way for me to go than I had tried in the past. Cause I had been with a bunch of other website designers that I just couldn't get along with or that refused to listen to what I wanted. So I said, okay, this is we're going to proceed with our mutually rewarding business arrangement. So Margaret pulls out this giant contract, 50 pages, and it's sign here, initial here, initial these three places, puts it back in her briefcase. And I said, can I have a copy of that? No. And
now what do you need a copy of this for?
We'd have to cut another tree down. So anyway, we walked out together and Randy saw that we had driven, we meaning the most severe critic and I had driven our 65 Corvette, and Randy and I from then on were bonded like Siamese twins, joined at the hip. We
because in addition to that, you remember I also found out after I went over and, lathered over your Corvette, salivating and, kicking the tires and looking at myself in the mirror and pretending I was sitting in it.
You had a lot of fun that day.
You also drive GTOs, which is my gig.
Absolutely. So we spent a lot of time out there and Margaret was standing there tapping her toe and looking at her watch and everything. So that was a memorable day in March of 2018.
She's not a car girl.
No, I could tell by what she drives. I was shocked that you showed great appreciation for the 65 Corvette and that you and she climbed into a car whose name shall never be spoken by my lips anyway.
No, I don't care for that car either. But, the old expression, if the family wants to be happy, mama needs to be happy.
Yep. It's hard for me to understand anybody being made happy by that car.
Well, but I'm not. So.
Well, anyway, the conclusion of that particular meeting was made clear to me a few days later when I got a phone call. By the way, in case we forgot to tell you, we're going to Ireland, but don't worry, we still work from Ireland. We may look like we're on vacation. We may be on the other side of the globe, so we're awake when you're asleep, but don't worry, we'll still get our business done. We just won't be speaking to you very often. And so I started thinking, all right, well, I still think these people are going to be the solution to my needs, but what am I going to do in the meantime? I was left with a lot of free time while they were spending a month in Ireland, goofing off. So that's when the idea of writing a book came up. And I said, I've always wanted to write a book. What shall I write about? Well, let's see. Medicare is the most prominent thing in my life right now. Let me see if I can't put something together about Medicare. So the first effort, which came out in 2018, sold a magnificent one copy, as my recollection is, that it went on Amazon and sold one copy before the end of the year. But I changed gears, and for 2019, I came up with pretty much what you see today, which is Medicare for the Lazy Man. And right now, you can buy Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. And it all started on that day in March at Janie's Coffee Shop in Cave Creek, Arizona.
Yep. And now, ultimately, I don't know what my initial thought was about the book, but ultimately it has turned out, at least in my opinion, it has turned out to be one of the very important linchpins of the effort, Medicare for the Lazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's introduced us to people who have become our clients that would not otherwise have known about our efforts to help people in Medicare.
Yeah.
So it's become very important, even though it was a struggle to get it published. Like, how do I do this? I could tell that your brain was about to explode trying to deal with the Amazon rules and regulations and so forth.
Oh, my gosh, yes. But I don't know if I you know, if I was going to compare the two, the Amazon rules on, you know, the paperback, uh-huh, or the Amazon rules on the audio.
Oh,
you got to do this again because Mr. Yeah. Jones, he snuffled, you know, one time during the, yep, oh my God, that's not
unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Unacceptable snuffling. You, yes, know, we would get.
I finally found out one of the best places to record was in my, in Mary's master bedroom closet surrounded by all of her clothes, because that was the most sound friendly room, right, in the house.
It wouldn't echo. And then ultimately, that I think that's where you recorded the first audio and probably the second one. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a stack of Amazon boxes, ironically, stacked up so that it was like a podium. And the only problem I had was every page I turned had to be cut out of the recording.
Yeah. But so, you know where we need to go now, right?
We need to go right back to business. So let's do that.
We need to get our business done on Medicare for the Lazy Man. So I am going to encourage you as your nominal producer to move right on into that smartly.
Let's do that. And I'm going to do my best again to make the most severe critic happy, because she always loves it when we handle a lot of varied Medicare type of information. So I'm going to plow through this giant stack of documents I've got here and hope that we hit on something that every listener is going to enjoy. And those things will start coming right now. There are so many interesting things. I don't know where to start here, but on the top of the pile is a thing that was printed October 10th, but I got it off of the internet when I Googled. I've got a client who is a real cerebral guy. He is an engineer. I don't know what he engineers, but not a train engineer. He's a, you know, building stuff engineer, I'm guessing. And so he also takes a million drugs. I have never seen anybody that takes this many prescription drugs on a regular basis. But this guy's name is Paul, and he lives in the center of the country. And he and I have been corresponding for quite some time, because finally I said, Paul, the method of choosing the best drug plan for you is, I can describe it for you, but you've got so many medications with like a question mark or as needed and things like that, that you're going to do it better than I can do it for you. So I want to teach you how to do this process. And I want you to, there are 23 drug plans available in your area. And this process hopefully will tell you which one is going to result in your cheapest costs overall from now until the end of the year. And he's really been struggling with it, because as I finally told him, I said, you're overthinking this way too much. And he said, you know, I do have that tendency. So, and then I, in an effort to help him, I've been looking for stuff on the internet to maybe hand him reading material that can open up his eyes to the process that we're using. And I found a little short article here. Now, often Randy and I devote a whole podcast episode to this process, and I do it in great detail, and I don't know if it ever really helps. So this is kind of like a light version of that, but it's a question and answer thing. A woman wrote in and she said, I have original Medicare and a Part D plan. I'm considering changing my Part D plan at the next Medicare AEP, which starts October 15th. How can I compare Part D plans or drug plans? And the answer, the columnist said, I'm glad to hear you're comparing your Medicare coverage options this fall. Research shows that many people with Part D could lower their costs by shopping among the plans each year. There could be another Part D plan in your area that covers the drugs you take with fewer restrictions or with lower costs. So it's great to hear that you're comparing plans. I would recommend using the Plan Finder on Medicare.gov in order to do this. So she's saying go to www.medicare.gov and then find the, let's see. Okay, they give you links here, and I can't deal with the links. I can't tell you to click on the link. But go to Medicare.gov and click on the button that says Find Plans Now. You can do a general search on the right side of the page under the title Continue Without Logging In. If you wish to save your drugs and pharmacy information, you can log in or create your Medicare account on the left side of the page. Next, put in your zip code and use the drop-down list to choose Part D plan. So there's a drop-down list that has, I think, four different possibilities. What are you looking for? Are you looking for Medicare Advantage plus da-da-da-da-da? And I always say, let's keep it clean and simple. Choose the Part D plan. I think it's choice number two of the four in the drop-down menu. Then click Apply, and then click on Start to begin your search. You can then enter the drugs you take and choose the pharmacies you use and indicate whether you're interested in a mail order option so you can compare that cost to just going to the local pharmacies. All right, now that's a really simplified version of what I do. It takes a lot of the intermediate steps out of the way, and I'm not describing. So you're going to have to do a little searching around on each screen to find the thing that takes you to the next step in the process. But anyway, the result is the plan finder will display results for the plans in your area. Note that a plan may not cover all of the drugs you take, but it may have alternatives on its formulary. Speak to your provider or your pharmacist about whether these alternatives would be appropriate for you. Plan Finder also tells you if the plan has a deductible and how much the monthly premium is. Initially, the plans will be sorted by the lowest drug cost plus premium costs. This is the closest estimate to what you must pay out of pocket for your Part D coverage for the rest of the year. It goes from the first of the month following your effort. So let's say we're doing it today, April 4th, you're going to start. The figures will assume that you're starting your plan coverage on May 1st, and it will go till the end of the year, December 31st. That's what the cost figure is that they show you. You can select plan details if you want about 23 pages to find out all the detail there is about your drugs and how they're treated by each of the drugstores, and you can get that detail page for or list of pages for each of the plans that comes up. But mostly what I look for is the plan that comes up at the head of the line, which is the cheapest plan for my client. And then I tell my client, okay, I'm going to send you the signature pages for that application and you sign and return back to me. Or I say, I don't have a contract with that company. You're going to have to call them at this telephone number that I give you and tell them to enroll you. The difference for me is about $90 for the year in commission if I tell my client that I will enroll them, or $0 for me if I have to tell them to go directly to the company to get enrolled. In any event, that takes care of the drug coverage portion, and then we can concentrate on the Medicare supplement portion. So the whole thing is, let's see, columnist says before enrolling, it's a good idea to call the plan to confirm any information you read on Plan Finder, as information may not be completely up to date. One item that's not up to date is if you have insulin in your list of drugs that you take. The insulin cost of $35, the lid of $35 out of pocket every month, is not reflected yet. They're way behind in bringing that particular piece of information to the database. So what you want to do, if you take insulin and you're going to try this process, and I hope you do, I hope you do, I hope you do, is remove the insulin. Don't enter that as one of the drugs that you take. Just at the end of the process, know that your cost that's displayed by the plan finding tool is going to be added. You're going to have a $35 additional cost every month for your insulin. So I believe that this is something that everybody should try, because I want you to be independent when it comes to your drug plan. I have gacked when I have heard about people who have talked to agents from other companies, and these agents will tell them something like, you know something, we've got a great drug plan. This plan is one of the best drug plans there is out there. It's got a fairly low monthly premium, covers a lot of drugs, And I think that's the one you ought to buy. And so many people enroll in that drug plan for that reason, just because an agent has told them it's a good plan. The other mistake people make is they want to enroll in the same a drug plan from the same company as their Medicare supplement plan. So when you get a Medicare supplement, let's say that I've shown you five different companies and you've said, okay, this is the company that I want my Medicare supplement from. And I also think it would be a good idea, let's say Mutual of Omaha. I've got a Mutual of Omaha Medicare supplement. I want a Mutual of Omaha Medicare drug plan, no matter what. I want them both to come from the same company. Bad, bad, bad idea. What you have to do is compare. Use the comparison tool on Medicare.gov, like we just talked about, because you have to consider the list of drugs that you want to take, plus the pharmacies that you like to get your drugs at, and maybe throw in the mail order option as well to see if that saves you some money. And you want to compare all of the drugs available in your area in terms of your out-of-pocket cost. And that is almost never going to be, the cheapest one's almost never going to be the same company as your Medicare Advantage plan or your Medicare supplement plan comes from. So get that idea out of your head right now and just do the process with an open mind and look at the winner. If you put in accurate information, you look at the winner as the one that's going to save you the most money out of pocket. Okay, well, we spent a lot of time on that, but I really wish that my clients would every year at the end of the year plug in their drugs and plug in their favorite pharmacies and make sure that the plan that I've sold them last year was still the best for them. Next item on the list of things to talk about is going to be pretty short because we're running out of time. Randy is telling me the crickets are coughing and hacking. They're just tired of making all that noise. And so I know he's making faces like we're going to lose all the crickets if you don't quit gabbing. But I just want to read a headline to you that I ran across. I'm heartbroken by this. I'm hoping it's not true. And I'm really hoping that we can avoid having the consequences of this affect anybody that I know, or especially me. But the headline is, no, moderate drinking isn't good for your health. And then the smaller headline is, despite a long-held belief that moderate amounts of alcohol are good for you, a sweeping new analysis finds that the more you drink, the higher your risk of early death. I'm disgusted by this. This was published on March 31st, and if you want to read the horrible news yourself, then I guess you have to search. It's an online publication called Share, S-H-A-R-E. And I got to tell you, it's 2.5 pages of just heartbreaking discussion about whether there's any level of alcohol consumption that is beneficial for humans. And like the bunch of killjoys that they are, their conclusion is no, don't ever drink anything. And I just can't tolerate that. So I'm going to set it aside and not even read it. But if you want to go find it on the internet, Marlene Simmons, C-I-M-O-N-S. Is the author, and published on March 31st. I don't want to have it anywhere near me anymore, so I'm going to give up the ghost right now. I'm going to tell Randy to take it away because I'll keep yakking and yakking if he doesn't. So, Randy, it's time for me to shut up.
One more quick comment about the drug plans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I was raised and the kind of the way I thought was, or if you went for the cheapest whatever of anything, it wasn't probably going to be the most serviceable. But if I've been working with Doug now for 5 years, and I finally got it through my thick skull that at least on drug plans, if a particular drug plan covers what you need, the second part of that question is get the cheapest one you can possibly find. Is that true?
You're absolutely right. And I'm glad you brought that up. I wish I had thought of that myself. I've had clients who have said, okay, you're telling me that this drug plan is the cheapest for me. So I think I should step up a couple of notches. I'll pay $20, $30 more a month to get a better drug plan. And that way, if something happens to me and I need to take new medications, I'll be sitting in the catbird seat. The answer is no. unless you can predict what's going to happen to you and what your new medications are going to be, there is no way that you can do anything other than look at what you are taking now, look at where you want to buy these things, and take that total cost and compare it to the other 22 drug plans that are likely to be available in your area. And the only way to do that is with a computer. You can't do it on your fingers or with an adding machine because it's too complex. This takes into account the copays that some drugs have. If you've got a drug like Ribavirin and you buy that at one drugstore, you might pay a whole lot more money. And you might pay a whole lot more money if you have one plan than if you have a different plan at that same drugstore, or if you have that different plan at a different drugstore. The numerous combinations of moving parts here are just too complex. I noticed we've got the plan that is almost the cheapest plan available in the United States. And there are people who say, I don't take any drugs. Give me the cheapest plan because I can always change it in the future, which is absolutely true. And that's a smart way to go. This is an Aetna plan. It doesn't pay any commission, but when I give it to my clients, I know that they're going to have the best thing they can, the cheapest plan that won't be draining their finances. However, if they're taking one drug and that still turns out to be the best plan, their cost could be very minimal at a CVS pharmacy, let's say. But if they were to wander into a Walgreens, they could wind up paying thousands of dollars between now and the end of the year. And the reason for that is the plan doesn't have a sweetheart deal with Walgreens. But how would you know that if you don't use the plan tool to compare? So cheaper is always better in this case. Doesn't mean it came from China and it's going to break and it's real crappy. It means that you've taken all the moving parts, compared them together, and, you know, based on what you do, and come up with the best choice.
So I think, you know, one more clarification for my little pointed head here. Doug just made a comment that I think is very important for you all to remember if you guys think like I do. This is just a way for various pharmacies to control what types of customers they're attracting. Okay, it's just a control type of, oh, we want to sell, you know, Frizzle Fragit, you know, plus plus. So they're gonna attract those types of customers. But if they don't want to attract the other types of customers, they're gonna hike their prices up on Frizzle Fragit, you know, plus plus. It's got nothing to do with the quality of the drugs.
Yeah, I can't speak to that because frankly, my head is already spinning. I am not a pharmacist. I have friends who are pharmacists. I've tried to lure them into helping me out with the more complex clientele that I have that have really complex drug needs. And I haven't succeeded in drawing them out of retirement. In fact, the wife of this couple is descended from the family that invented barbed wire. And so, you know, the name Glidden is always on my mind. And the husband is a guy I've known since 1960. We went to seventh grade on up together. I can't drag their butts out of retirement to help me out to save my soul. And so, I'm not comfortable giving really, really detailed advice to my clients. All I can do is say, here is the best tool I've found to help you choose the right drug plan for you. And what you just said, Randy, may be true. I just don't know. I'm not expert enough to be able to tell you.
Well, I do know one thing for sure.
Tell me what that is.
Our 75 cents has run out.
Oh, boy. Well, okay. Boot us out of here then.
Couple things I always do before we walk out of the premises in the recording studio here. Always remember that Doug Jones is a licensed agent nationwide. We don't often talk about that, but just because you live in Arkansas or Texas or New Jersey, Doug can be your agent just as effectively or probably more effectively than your local people. So anyway, there's that part. And then Doug loves to get emails. So, grab a pencil and write this down. dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Send him a hello. Send him a comment. Send him anything you want. He loves to get his email. And we're working right now on putting some new fancy Dan stuff on medicareforthelazyman.com. I think it's pretty cool. And I think Doug is doing a great job with it. So I am going to move to the last thing We always would love to have you find a place to give us a rating on the podcast, because we're always up against it, you know, on ratings. Everybody has a rating, or the book, and or both. So we would really, really enjoy having your rating and your comment. Write a few words. You know, I liked it is better than, you know, 5 stars with no writing. You know, it's just, it's one of those crazy things, people. So help us out. We'd appreciate it. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma, now held up in his fortress of solitude in the high altitude behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And I checked before we started recording today, he is up at 26.2.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Randy, for making me most miserable podcaster of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Please join us next time. Bye-bye.